The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Back to that cruise ship where the World Health Organization has said it believes there may have been human-to-human transmission of the hantavirus on the Dutch cruiser, where three passengers have now died and others are unwell. I'm joined by Dr. Owen de Barra, Senior Lecturer at the Royal College of Surgeons and Infectious Disease and Tropical Medical Consultant at Beaumont Hospital. Good evening to you, Owen. I suppose to start off with, explain maybe to listeners, what is hantavirus?
Good evening, Ciara. But it's... they're a group of viruses, actually, and they're all transmitted by rodents, sometimes mice, voles or rats, and they can cause very severe disease in humans on occasion. But it's overall, it's a pretty rare event to get human cases. The kind of quoted rate of death, the mortality rate with it, is about 30%, but it varies very much on which virus in which part of the world. So they behave a little bit differently.
Okay, 30% seems very high and worryingly so, but keep going.
Yeah, so they're mainly transmitted through the feces or urine of these rodents. So it's normally dried, aerosolized bits, matter from these rodents that people inhale. So it's kind of dry, dusty environments, somewhere where there's, you know, a high burden of the rodents and maybe somebody's visiting somewhere rural that isn't often frequented. And yeah, so that the rate... looks high, but it's one of these things that usually happens in remote areas that, you know, towards the Andes. In areas across Europe, there's variants, though the case fatality rate is far lower with the European variants, and it happens across Asia as well. So, you know, it happens in the background all the time. There's maybe 100,000, 150,000 cases reported a year across the globe. But again, a huge variation in the mortality rate in different parts of the world.
Okay, different parts of the world, probably with different health systems and also different parts of the world with different strains. The symptoms, exactly. Owen, how would somebody present if they were suffering with this?
First bit is usually that they just have an undifferentiated fever. So a fever and feeling lousy, fatigue, and then either it resolves and people are just well again, or the two nasty pathways for it. One is a lung condition where they develop a pneumonia that's very severe, and the other is a kind of a viral hemorrhagic fever manifestation, a bit like people might imagine Ebola can do,
okay,
where they pick up very low blood pressure and start to bleed.
Goodness, that sounds dreadful, actually. Are there some groups, Owen, who are more at risk than others? People would be, I suppose, familiar with talking about at-risk groups from things like COVID. Is it the more elderly or infirm or things like that somebody is, does that put them more at risk?
Certainly, like with a lot of other things, increasing age puts people at increasing risk of a bad outcome. But most people who contract this are younger because it's about the exposure. The main thing with the risk of this is you're exposed to the rodent environment, usually in a rural area. So mostly this is people who live in rural environments. That's where they live and work, and they're farmers or they're foresters. But the cases we see, which may result, at least the first two cases, is their exposure, you know, tourism to a wilderness area.
Yeah. And of course, people might remember hantaviruses because that was named as the cause of the death for Gene Hackman's wife there a year or so ago. With regard to this, the WHO have come out, and I know you're saying that it's exposure to the feces or the urine of rodents. The WHO has said that they believe that it may be person-to-person spread has happened. The first two people who died were a husband and a wife who were 70 and 69. Person-to-person spread, is that less common or what do we know about that, Owen?
Yeah, largely it's not thought to be a thing with hantavirus, although with one of the strains or one of the variants of it, the Andes variant, it does appear to happen on occasion. And usually it's been described in very close contact. So people who, again, living in the same quarters, the same bed, using the same utensils. So it's very early to say at the moment.
Sure.
It's really about what were the other people doing and letting the epidemiologists and the public health authorities do their work and try to tease that out. But it's not beyond the realms of possibility if they were, you know, in close quarters living
together. Of course, we know.
But in a normal health environment, we wouldn't consider this something to be that concerned about. Yeah.
And of course, this ship did dock in Argentina where that Andes variant has spread previously. So that might be why that suggestion has taken place. There are also other people sick on board, including, it's believed, the ship's doctor. So that might suggest as well that it is spreading person to person because apparently he has been treating the ill on board.
Yeah, and I mean, with any infection, it's about the close quarters bit. So maybe he's been collecting samples or now, again, hopefully using the minimal basic precautions. But I guess there's an awful lot of things we don't know at the moment.
Yeah.
And overall, I'd say that the risk to the wider public and to people is exceptionally low, but obviously not a nice place to be on that ship at the moment with, you know, understandable fear and anxiety. And probably, you know, ships will have protocols to try to do these things, but I believe they're getting assistance from local health authorities. And I believe some further passengers may be evacuated from there. But they're kind of under isolation, I think,
I think
at the
moment. Are in their cabins largely. I don't know if they're allowed out at different times, but I think they are in their cabins largely. I know you're saying that the risk to general populations is very low, particularly because I suppose these people are contained on the ship. But the Cape Verde authorities did not allow this ship to dock. And even though the WHO is saying that the Spanish authorities at the Canaries will welcome the ship, the Spanish authorities are currently saying we have not agreed to do so. Is that more fear than rationality governing those decisions, would you suggest, Joan?
I suspect it probably is. And I think, you know, this is something that most of the world didn't know about before the weekend. So it takes time for people to understand the science and then be able to work within that. You know, it's a very scary thing. And I suspect, again, the Canaries is a lot better resourced than the Cape Verde Islands in terms of healthcare infrastructure and being able to manage something like this. I mean, the other practical bit is the incubation period is, you know, pretty long for this. So usually within 6 weeks, but potentially even longer, which means the typical quarantine time of a ship or, you know, to allow cases to either manifest or not becomes very challenging. So it's going to drag on, I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask you because some of the passengers on the ship have spoken on things like social media. They've put up posts about it and they're saying that they're hoping that they're going to be allowed to disembark in the Canaries and fly on to their local, I suppose, countries. You know, there's lots of different countries involved here. But an incubation period of up to 8 weeks, is that a naive thought on the part of those passengers? I know that the first person who died on board was the husband, the 70-year-old husband, and he passed away and his body was removed from the ship and his wife disembarked too. She was then on a flight, apparently. She has subsequently passed away as well, but she was on a flight then in South Africa. And now people, they're trying to do, apparently, contact tracing on the people on the flight. So there does seem to be concern about this human-to-human issue. Do you think that it is unlikely that if it is particularly in the Andes strain of the hantavirus, and they're obviously trying to type that at the moment, but if it is that these people would be put in quarantine somewhere for up to 8 weeks before they would be flying on anywhere?
Well, I suspect, yeah, every region will have its own policy and its own approach to it and look to WHO to give some steer on it. But usually there's an abundance of caution happens with things like this. So everyone will want to get as much information as possible before allowing people to move freely. I think, again, the epidemiologists, the virologists, let's try and get as much information as possible and move forward. But this would be unprecedented to have that level of human to human. Like the only reported evidence for it, the Andes variant before is really in endemic populations where people are very close and may be getting re-exposed all the time.
Yeah.
So we still don't know whether that's really happened or whether all the people who've been infected actually did have some kind of animal contact. Again, this boat was basically a wildlife expedition, as I understood it. And even beyond Argentina, it was stopping at various, you know, points across the Atlantic.
You did mention the fact that there's up to 150,000 cases per year globally on this. On the basis of that, should we be particularly worried about this small number of cases that obviously have been highlighted because of the setting of the cruise, which I suppose has alerted people to what's going on? But in general, you don't think that this is something that is of global risk, people still, of course, living with the PTSD of the pandemic?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is something of concern. I mean, in Argentina, during this summer, they've had an increase in cases. But again, these are poor people living in rural communities trying to go about their lives and having to deal with it on an ongoing basis. Not, wealthy tourists. And it becomes a thing worldwide because there's potential for movement and it feels closer to home. But it is something that's going on in the background. Notwithstanding all that, there are some changes to the epidemiology with climate change. So the Argentinian authorities have reported change in the ranges and the incidence of disease over this last summer. So there may be something that'll happen to change. But again, this is about having the evidence, having the science and trying to explore and getting the answers to the questions that you reasonably pose.
Yeah, of course, the cruise company has said that there are no rats on board, is their understanding. So I suppose that queers the pitch a little bit as well in terms of maybe that the transmission is human to human, but that, as you say, is not in any way established at the moment. Thank you very much for joining us, Owen. That is Dr. Owen de Barra, Senior Lecturer at the Royal College of Surgeons and Infectious Disease and Tropical Medical Consultant at Beaumont Hospital.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.